Down in my heart, there's the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God is fully shed abroad. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. Down in my heart, there's the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God is fully shed abroad. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. Can we all learn it? Just quickly, one, two, go. Down in my heart, there's the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God is fully shed abroad. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. But the last time, down in my heart, there's the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God is fully shed abroad. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. Amen. Amen. So this week and beyond, we're going to be looking at God's love in and amongst us. God's love in and amongst us. You know, I've been carefully thinking on what I could really lay emphasis on a few minutes before I came in here. And, you know, I believe the Lord just impressed on my heart to touch on this, because many times we easily forget what the most important thing is. So when you are going on an important journey and you're going to be staying at that place for, let's say, 7 days, you remember to pick your shirts. You remember to pick a few trousers. You probably might remember to pick some boxers. And, you know, your pomade and your sponge, some towels. But you see, there are some very vital things that you just might tend to forget. Something as little as your toothbrush and your Pepsodent. Now, why would you forget? Because it similarly does not look important. So while we find some other people get to realize, oh my goodness, my brush and my Pepsodent is not here, then the whole reason for your traveling becomes a bit compromised, because you didn't think that was an important asset to carry along. So we all know how important this is, right? And so similarly, as Christians, as we go about our walk and our daily experiences, you know, there is a spirit within and there is a spirit upon. Oftentimes we're excited about the spirit that comes upon us. Oftentimes God's spirit upon us comes on us to do. So God's spirit comes on us to do. He makes a doing. He makes something visible. He puts us in that position where we are going to be doing something. And so we are very much excited about prophecies. You know, say, I was able to see into this person's life and I was able to minister exhortation to them and I was able to edify this fellow. And I remember I went somewhere and I prayed for someone, you know, and the person got healed suddenly and God had done a miracle, or God has done a miracle with my life. You know, and you see, I speak in tongues. You know, and even the tongues that I speak, it sounds almost like a Greek or a Hebrew tongue, you know. And so everybody gets jubilating about so many things that they have or that they can do. But you see, those so many things that we see happening around, we must get to know what God is concerned about in the midst of those so many things happening. I took time to listen to, you know, God's Generals by audio, and you get to realize that many of the ministers that were used mightily of God left this Pepsodent and toothbrush behind. And so a man, bless his darling heart, I honor him greatly, Jaco, one of the greatest healing evangelists that ever trodded the earth. In fact, his healing meetings were very scarce. I mean, Jaco died very young, late or very early 30s. But it was said that he had a very strong affinity, you know, for anger and responding so much to issues, you know. So you get to realize that oftentimes we're very much interested in the power gifts, the manifestations, you know, how anointed that we sound and how, you know, interesting we sound, or how we're able to lay hands on people and they can't stand, or we just get into a place and the glory of the Lord fills a place. But we must be very cautious to know, in the midst of all these things happening, what truly matters to God and how God really sees whatever is going on. And I tell you, anyone who can week and beyond is going to be the perfect man that trots the earth. Not prophecies, not tongue speaking, not laying hands on the sick. In fact, I show you a way of how these things will happen. Not entering a room and people are falling. No, not this. Not this way. Anyone who has this attribute, God sees, acknowledges, and greatly esteems. We're talking about the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. God's love in and amongst us. Are you excited? Are we excited to go and to see what this entails? And then we start revisiting our love walk again, because there's certain times you must experience, you must go back to the drawing board and say, I think I missed it here. And so I need to correct it. I need to work on this aspect of my life, because that is what God really looks at. And that's what God is really interested in. Right? So we must have this happening. See, let me tell you, if we are able to have these things happening in our midst, this particular attribute that is actually godly and of God, we're going to see the greatest things that can ever happen. Amen. So down on the inside of our hearts, there is that nature of the Father. And down on the inside of our hearts, there's that Spirit of the Lord. Down in our hearts, the love of God is fully shed abroad. And in His name, we're able to do what He's called us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. I'd like us to use the Amplified version for this particular teaching. It helps us lay more emphasis. I was told that if, you know, we're going to categorize Bible versions into male or females, the Amplified version will be female, because if you want more elaboration and you want more expansions and you want more talks concerning a matter, you might just want to pick an Amplified Lady Bible. It's going to give more emphasis, right? Say King James is going to be that man, like, thou sayeth the Lord. No. The Lord is saying in the mountains and scramblings and jumpings and tenderings, the Lord saith, I mean. Okay, let's go into our study for tonight. And if I have the gifts of prophecies, right? You see, every other version just says prophecies, you just move on. They are trying to expound. So they're saying that if I have the gift of prophecy and I speak a new message from God to the people, right? So the people can understand and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge. He says, if I have all faith so that I can remove the mountains, but do not have this one thing, which is love, reaching out to others, he says that I am nothing. I'm nothing. You see, God's love in our hearts is greater than all of these things Paul lists in these places. It's greater than prophecies. It's greater than tongues. It's greater than knowledge. Why are these greater? Because all of these things are just existent on the earth. Now, when you stand with someone and you prophesy to them, that's going to be playing within an earthly terrain, right? When we get to heaven, nobody's going to stand and prophesy to me. I mean, in heaven, we know all things and we are aware. We've come to that fullness and we have a grasp of whatever is happening. So your prophecy will not do anything for me when we are in heaven. Right? It's not going to do anything for me. You can't tell me that Angel Michael is going to come 2 minutes after, and then we're all watching to see, will he come 2 minutes after? No. We already know what can happen and what should happen. So why do we understand this? Because Paul says here that all of these things are going to pass away. They'll vanish away. We wouldn't need them anymore. You know, but there's one thing that is existent and it stays forever. It's actually God's nature. He calls it the love of God. The love of God. So the love of God is what remains and never passes away. So there'll be no tongue talking in heaven. Say, subrando, sacrandus, propuntus. There is no tongue speaking in heaven. There is no prophesying in heaven. There is no word of knowledge in heaven. There is no gifts of the Spirit operating in heaven. These things will have passed away. But God's love, the God kind of love, endures forever. It won't pass away because God is love and He is love. It means that as a people, we must pay attention to this. We must give attention to this. We must ensure that this particular attribute that is godly and that is of God Himself is found in our midst. Now, throughout these teachings, I'm going to clear off your thoughts on what real love is. And that's going to place us right there to be able to walk in that fully. Because oftentimes when you say you're walking in love, you see that somebody is doing something and you don't know what to do. I'll touch on all of those areas. And so we can have that way. We can go, you know, ahead and have that clear ground so we can know what it means to walk in love. And we can walk in love. We can actually take steps of love. And we can find ourselves moving in love. And we can find ourselves demonstrating love. And we can find ourselves being firm when we ought to be firm. Because being firm at certain places or points in time is genuine love. So this is that one thing that we all must pay attention to. Because all of those things that we probably are following after and saying the power of God all over in this place, all of those things are not going to stay any longer. So even if, you know, all of the gifts of the Spirit manifested through us without God's love, He says it wouldn't profit us anything. It'll be nothing. Think about that. Think about the fact that you understand all the mysteries. And you possessed all the knowledge and you had all the faith, but you didn't have God's love operating in and amongst us, flowing through us. He says it wouldn't profit us anything. Even to an extent where you're giving to the poor, you're self-sacrificing, all of those things are useless. Nothing actually is profitable. Listen to me when I say this. And I know it's true. Nothing is profitable to God if it's not done in this terrain. In this terrain. We have to play cautiously in this terrain. I believe that all of the judgments that we're going to have for all of the things that we did, this is just going to be the barricade. It's just going to be that playground that God is going to assess everything that we have done for Him and everything that we have done for other people too. So nothing you will do will profit Him, and nothing that you do out of this attribute actually means more to Him. So you can really see why this God kind of love and walking in it is so important. And you know the funny thing? The entire Word of God is built on faith, right? For with this attribute, no man can see God, which is faith. But it's saying that the greatest amongst all of these is love. Do you see that? It means that a man who's walking in love walks in the greatest order of God. He walks the greatest order of God. Not even faith can stand on its own with exemption of love. So what I'm going to be sharing with you throughout this week is greater than laying hands on you and saying, your eyes be open. Yeah. It's greater than that. Greater than we going into a place and saying that the dead be raised and the dead, somebody sneezes and then they come back to life. He says, this one is greater than that. We go to a place, there are witches here. Hey. We pray about the place and rain starts to fall. He says, hey, the power of God is here. He says, that attribute is greater than those manifestations. So in this week, we're going to be looking at the greatest that any believer could walk in. The greatest. I want you to put it in your heart that it is the greatest. It supersedes anything that happens. Anything that can happen. Supersedes all of the spiritual gifts. Supersedes all of the manifestations. It supersedes everything that you can ever think about. Crusades. Preaching, teaching, meetings, programs. It supersedes all of that. If all of these things are done with the exception of this, he says it's done in vain. It does not profit you. And it's unprofitable to God. To an extent where it is that marker that people can tell that we truly have God in our hearts. Is that marker? John 13:35. We're looking at love, God's love in and amongst us. John 13:35. John 13:35. You know, it's oftentimes easy to despise this. Very easy. And he says, by this, everyone that you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. That's how the world is going to know. That's how the world is going to know that you are of him and you are from him, is when you have love for one another. He's not saying go and tell your mind to someone. We're going to be looking at that in a couple of days to come. But he's saying that by this, everybody is always going to be able to tell that you have God on the inside. So how is the world going to know we're Christians? The world is going to know we're Christians by the love that we have. That's how the world is going to know we're Christians. Back to 1 Corinthians 13:13. I'm trying to lay emphasis on how important this is. So though we are speaking in tongues and of angels and have not this, the King James Version actually uses the expression charity, and I'll explain why the word charity will not directly fit in there. But the word charity, there is love. So, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. It says you are an empty barrel that makes a lot of noise. If you're not walking in these attributes, you know what the sounding brass is? A tingling cymbal? Ching! That's how it is. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, it says I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give all my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profited me nothing. So the word charity there is actually something that we must pay attention to. So oftentimes, the word charity denotes, you know, benevolence, right? It's to be benevolent, you know, to offer or provide help and raise money for people in need. Oftentimes, like something that you do voluntarily to those who are in need. But you see, the word used right there in those scriptures mean more than just being benevolent. Because oftentimes you can be benevolent, or you're sharing what you have and you're not doing it in love. The word there is agape. 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 Now, this agape actually is the highest form of love. That's the love of God for man and of man for his God. There are several other kinds of love in the Greek. We know of them. We know of philia, right? We know of agape, right? What else do you know? Eros, right? Those are erotic forms of love. What other kind of love do we know? Stratos, exactly. So there's stratos, right? There's that love, right? So all of these are different kinds of love. There's a love that we have for family. There's a love that we have for friends. There's a love that we have for our spouses. You know, there's a friendly kind of love that we have. There's also a kind of an erotic love that you have. Something that you feel when you see your husband. It's erotic. But there is a kind of love that supersedes all of these loves. And he calls that kind of love what? Agape. It's the God kind of love. In fact, agape is not selfish in its own liking. It's in the same kind of love that scripture tells us that greater love had no man than this, than a man to lay his life down for his friends, right? Yes, but God commended his love towards us while we were yet still sinners. Christ died for us. So it's selfless love. It is sacrificial. Is unconditional. It's the highest of all the types of loves in the Bible. Similarly, same love, John 3:16. He so loved, is the word agape, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but that fellow has everlasting life. He so loved the world that all that he did was that he was just giving. And he was giving. Even while man was not in the process of receiving, he was still giving. Because everyone that came to the earth by then had rejected his love. In fact, more people rejected his love than more people received his love while he was living. The Pharisee in his day would not even want to hear him. They told lies on him. They heaped lies on him. They said things that were not true on him. Says that they sought to kill him. But yet still, God was in that business of continually giving. And today, he says that by this same attitude of this love that we have in and amongst us, in John 13:35, he says, by this will the world know that we are born again. Many of the times you hear us say things, this person, hey, I'm not able to entertain this person. No. Hey, let me just tell in my mind. I'm going to tell in my mind, pa. To an extent where Jesus makes us understand in 1 John by his servant John, 1 John chapter 4 verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 4 verses 7 and 8. He clearly tells us how important this is. He says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. No wonder by this attribute and trait they are able to tell that we are people of love. So, I'm just bringing all of these up so you will get to know how important it is. How important it is. To an extent where when they say, choose between being a prophet and being a man that walks in love, you say, I'll choose love. Yeah, I'll choose love. Choose between being an apostle and choose being a man of love. You say, no. I choose love. Love is that position I am. See, choose between being an international apostle and being a man that walks in love. Say, no, I choose love. I'll choose love. Choose between being saying that, oh, you are right, and choose love. You say, no, I choose to be wrong. I'll still choose love. Beloved, it's the nature of God in our hearts. And I thank God that this is not something that he has given to us or he has not given to us. I thank God that this is something that he has not given it to us. This is something that God has given to us. It's something that God has given to us. See, as for this person, no. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loves is born of God. Is born of God. So how you will know is that you are walking in love. By this, we will have many of the things that we even desire to happen, we'll see them happening. Even when we come for meetings or services, and I say, prophesy to someone, because there's so much love in your heart, you will not want the other person next to you to leave without a word. You'll say, I have to hear from God for you, and you minister to them. And that's how you actually flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So let's lay hands on whoever is sick. You say, sister, what's wrong with you? You say, oh, my back has been hurting. You lay hands with so much compassion. Because you know what drives you is God's love in your heart. So it is the greatest thing you can desire to have. If I've stirred a desire for spiritual gifts, I've done that in many of you. I can see that burning desire. Do you understand? I can see that burning desire in many of you. You are burning for spiritual gifts. You want to walk in them. You want to see them happen. But today I just want to point your attention to something. I'm saying, hey, look here also. All right. It's the greatest thing that you can walk in. It's the greatest thing that you can walk in. Once you start walking in all of these things, you will find out all of these other, you know, equipments needed for your service and your zeal and for your walk with the Lord just panning out like that and burning out in raging fire. Yeah. So it is the greatest thing you can ever choose. So every time, anywhere, anytime, going for the love of God. God recognizes it. So he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God himself is love. I pray for you that you're going to start paying attention to this. And you're going to start seeing as you should. In Jesus' name. So oftentimes, we're so very much cautious. But this is what I want us to be more cautious about. In fact, it sums up the entirety of everything that God is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruits, many of the times we're not really interested in the fruits. But remember what Jesus told the Pharisees, right? A tree will be known by its fruits that it bears. So the fruits of, you know, the spirits in our life, what it actually produces, you know, and nobody is so much careful about roots, and nobody is much more careful about branches, and nobody is too careful about leaves. But anytime somebody comes to a tree, what makes the tree beautiful and what makes it worth staying under and what makes it worth clutching under and what makes it worth, you know, say having in your house is that it is able to produce fruits. It's able to produce fruits. I remember there was this tree in our house and we were supposed to divide a wall, right? And so, between our house and then the next house. And they decided not to take away the tree. So, if I can remember clearly, it was because of one thing, is that the tree produced a lot of fruits. Especially in the time where it was supposed to be produced. So you see that when the time was ready, right? We could climb the tree and we have fruits. So many of the things that will make you relevant and many of the things that will make you productive and worth being around and worth seeing your relevance is your fruits. Is what you produce, is what comes out of you, you know. And when we pluck those fruits and we bite them, we taste them, we must have that nice feeling, that yummy, sweety, enjoyable feeling. It's the fruits. So when the Spirit of God comes into a man's life, God says that that spirit on the inside of him begins to bear certain fruits. Begins to bear certain fruits. So there are fruits that we will see bearing. And in fact, I think it was a Mozart's translation. He says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, period. So actually, the original rendition of this scripture, Galatians 5:22, is the fruit of the Spirit is love, which includes, right? So love is that big fruit. Every other thing that follows, whether be it joy, whether be it peace, whether be it long suffering, whether be it gentleness, whether be it goodness, whether be it faith, whether be it meekness, whether be it temperance. Against all of these things, there is no law. Remember, against the law of love, there is no other law. So all of these other things that are being mentioned are actually in that fruit. So there is just a fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy is in love. When you are full of love, you'll be overflowing with joy. When you're full of love, you'll be gentle. When you're full of love, you'll be long-suffering. So there is one fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit is love. And that fruit inclusively has joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. So many of the times, when we say, I'm joyful, but I don't really understand what love is. I can't really put up with somebody. Then what we're saying is that the Spirit and God's Spirit in us is not producing certain fruits. It's not producing certain fruits. And it's not producing that fruit, which is love. So when the Holy Ghost comes into a man's life, he doesn't only empower him to speak in tongues. No, he starts producing. And what he continually produces are fruits of love. Can you see that? He says that, but the fruits. He's not saying that, but the fruits of the spirits. No, but the fruit, it's one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Inclusively is joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that when the Spirit comes into a man's heart, he produces in him that natural tendency to love. So as I create an appetite for you, for this particular attribute of that which is God. In fact, when you go close to the Lord, you can literally sense love. It's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You can sense love. You can tell how much more he loves you. Greater love hath no man showed to you than this, then he will lay down his life. That's love. So, that particular fruit is love. I see the Lord, you know, just impressing these on hearts. And they're going to be love beings all around. People who understand. People who can suffer long. People who can be gentle. People who can put up with the inadequacies of other people. People who can encourage others when they're down. People who can give. People who can stick close and say, we're not going to leave you. We're in this together. It's that fruit of love. 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 And thank God, we get to see that love is in everyone's heart. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. So everything that I'm going to be laying emphasis on this whole week, you already have on the inside of you. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love that is of God, the love that is of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Everything I'm going to be talking about right here in this week is not something you are going to be praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, please, please, God, fear God. My roommate is a thorn in my flesh. Ah, dear Jesus, I cannot, I will not, I should not, I refuse to put up with so and so. I don't know. All of the things we're going to be looking at in this whole week, he says, they are shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It means when we go out, we're capable of dispensing and showering all of God's love, of all that he's written for us that we are, to other people. There is that magnitude and that gushing forth and that overwhelming presence of the love of God that we are able to dispense out to people. We're able to speak to people. We're able to put up with people's inadequacies. We're able to flow with people. We're able to understand them. We're able to say, okay, this is how it's supposed to be done. We're able to be firm and say, no, this is how it's supposed to be done, or this is how we want you to do it. We are going to be love beings, and we are love beings, and we're dispensing out God's love every single time to the people that we meet. So he says in Romans chapter 5 verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because this love that is of God is shed abroad in our heart. You know, it's an interesting thing. I just want to point this to you. The love, I told you the word love there, actually every kind of love that we're going to be looking at is going to be agape. Maybe in the subsequent days ahead, we're going to look throughout the Old Testament and to try to understand what this love is, right? So, but this love, which is of God, which is agape in its own, it's selfish, right? Is affectionate, is brotherly, right? Is charitable, okay? It's understanding, right? He says this love is of God, is shared abroad. You know what it means to be shared abroad, right? Is distributed largely, is the word shared abroad, is the word ekeo, A-K-C-H-E-O. Ekeo, it means to distribute largely. It's like every time we said we receive the Holy Ghost, there's a consistent pouring out. There's a consistent shedding forth. There's a running over. You know, there's a shedding abroad. All right. And what I want you to understand is that there's a gushing out of God's love. There's a spilling forth. You know what it means to spill forth? It means you so much have it on the inside that it keeps pouring over and over you. That's the love of God. And he says, this love that we're talking about, which we said it is of God, you have received that God kind of love, and it is shared abroad. It is spilling over. It is running over. It is gushing out, right? It's gushing out. It's pouring out, right? It's spilling out of you. Anytime someone sees you, they see God in you because of his love gushing and spilling and pouring out of you. Father, thank you. And in this week, we're going to be looking carefully at what it means to be exactly like you, to walk in love. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that this love is shed abroad in our hearts. It's 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 shed abroad in our hearts. This love of God spills out of us. It gushes out of us every single time. Oh, it gushes out of us every single time. It gushes out of us every single time. You know, the Holy Spirit just brings this to memory. And even as I pray for you, we're going to look at practical experiences. And I'm going to share experiences with you on how I walked in love. And I'm also probably going to share experiences on you on how the Lord lays on me. Okay, you should have done it this way. You could have gone about it this way. You should have gone about it this way. But you see, one of the fondest memories I have was that one day someone called me very early in the morning. And she asked me for certain some amount of money, I'll say. Prevesusto, proposte, vivelendo, vrelizo, prakado, zizido, parujde, bakideviste, frevetolo, friestando, bragadeste, kivanando, pregatede. You know, so when she spoke to me, I was like, you know, I was thinking about it and I said, nope, I'm not going to give her this money. You know, but something came again to me and I just knew that she was never going to pay back. She was never going to pay back. I mean, it was not money I could just give out to her. I knew that she was never going to pay back. But even in knowing that she was never going to pay back, somewhere in my heart, I just felt like I should give this money to her. And I said, okay, I was going to do it. And till today, she never did pay back. In fact, she has never even called me again. But you see, God's love in our hearts can see people's wrongs, inadequacies. We can see them. It's not like we are not seeing them. It's not like we are not blind to them or we are blind to them. We can see that this person is deficient at this. But you see something? God's love shed abroad in our hearts causes us to bear us and bear up and bear out with other people. And that's God's love on the inside of us, is that we're going to walk in love. I trust God that by this week, and as we look through various experiences and what it means to walk in love and expounding on love and, you know, just having that understanding on love, there's just going to be a spilling forth, a gushing forth, a gushing out of His love in our hearts. Father, we thank You for tonight. And you know, as we discuss on this and as we look at this, Your ministries are going to get better, right? Your ministries are going to get better. The way you minister, it will change. You know, the way you minister and flow in the things of the Spirit, it will change. Your healing gifts, ministries, it will receive a different type of touch. It's like there'll be a touch to it. It will be a warm touch. There'll be a supernatural touch to it as you desire and as you walk in the consciousness of this love already shared abroad in your heart. Father, thank You for tonight. And thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, that Your love, Your great love, Your great love, Your great love is shed abroad in our hearts, spilling forth every time. Every time we have that opportunity. We have that opportunity to show it. We will. Whenever, wherever we have that opportunity, we will. Wherever, whenever we're walking in Your love towards others. And by this, all men know that we are sons and we are born again. In Jesus' name, amen.